Greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery radio program today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. I want to welcome you to our radio program that is brought to you and paid for by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. Last week in our study, we started into the Abrahamic promises and touched briefly on the Abrahamic covenant. So we're going to get back to that here in just a moment. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Genesis chapter 12, if you would. We will be there in a second, but before we get there, let me pray with you, please. Father, we pray today as we come and circle around the radio and around your word. Lord, as we go back to look at these Abrahamic promises and ultimately the Abrahamic covenant, Lord, that our eyes and our hearts would be opened. Lord, that you would teach us and instruct us. Might the Spirit of God have his way. Might we understand more about your plan and what you are working to do in this world in which we live in. We'll thank you for it all. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. People say that you cannot take these promises literal, okay? But you have to be able to, because these promises are going to lead to that theocratic kingdom. And so that's going to tell us that the theocratic kingdom is also a literal kingdom that is going to exist. Where would it be? If the land's on the earth, where's the kingdom going to be? On the earth, isn't it? It's got to be on the earth. That's the point that you need to understand. Because there are many people that there are a lot of people that would come in here and they would teach you that in Revelation chapter 20 and that kingdom and that thousand year reign of Christ is not literal. You cannot take that literally is what they will say. You wouldn't have to look very far to find somebody that's going to teach you that that thousand years is not to be taken as a thousand years and that earthly kingdom is not a literal kingdom. That's what they say. Okay, but if that's the case, then God's not true to his promises. You understand that? What he's saying to Abram here in Genesis 13 on the screen, Abram, you're walking through the land and I'm going to give you the land. Okay, but if it's not literal and he's not getting the land he's walking through, then God's not true to his promises. That's what I want you to understand. I don't know if I read verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So watch the next line, probably a lot of what I just said. But Abram is told to walk through the land that God would give to him. So therefore, we can be absolutely sure that these are literal promises, and this is a literal land. I can also add that these promises must be fulfilled on this earth. Otherwise, God will fail to keep his promises to Abram. That's what you need to understand. And I'm setting you up because I'm telling you that there are people that would love to get in here that would teach you that this is not literal. And you, like I said, you wouldn't have to look very far before you found somebody that would come in here and teach you, oh, you can't take that literal. Those are not literal promises. Well, wait a minute. Is the land literal if he's going to walk through it? Is the land literal because it's set over against Ur of the Chaldees? I got to ask the question, was Ur of the Chaldees a literal land? Was it real or not? The answer is yes. So why aren't these promises real? They are. Watch this. There's yet another verse that affirms the land is literal. Okay, this is in the, we're going to go here in a moment. We're going to turn there, but I'm going to show you on the screen. Genesis 15, this is in the Abrahamic covenant. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant. See, now, there you're getting a covenant. There was a covenant before this one. There was a covenant before this. Anybody have an idea what it was? Would have been after the flood. Noahic covenant. That was the one that established a government. Okay, the Noahic covenant. This is the second time right here. Okay. Let me give you something else to think about. The sign of the Noahic covenant. Anybody know what it is? Rainbow. Sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Circumcision. Just remember that. Keep that tucked away. We'll get to that later. Not tonight, but later. So verse 18. Let me give you one more. The new covenant. Anybody know what sign of the new covenant is? The communion table. Interesting. That's just extra for thought. Okay, now back to 18. For real this time. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. Now watch this. from the river of Egypt, that's the Nile, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So let me ask you a question. Were they literal rivers or not? Without a doubt, they were literal rivers, weren't they? So do you think the land in between them would be literal? Without a doubt, it is. Now, what? Let me go on. Watch verses 19 through 21. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kedemites and, boy, there were a lot of mites in there. And the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So that's the people that lived in the land. So let me just throw something at you a little bit. Were they literal people? Were they real people groups? Yes. So the land had to be literal land. Okay, and he says, between these two rivers, I'm going to give you the land. Now watch this. God had promised to Abram the land that these people groups lived on, which must mean that it is literal. And God has defined it by stating that it is between the river of Egypt, that's the Nile, and the Euphrates. Both of these rivers are literal rivers, so therefore the land must be literal. Now, why do we need to know this, and why does it really matter? This really does matter. Okay, it really does. Watch this. There are two points we gather from this information that the Bible gives to us. Number one is this. It tells us, okay, now catch this. This is something that the globalists and the climate people and the tree huggers and all those people that want to save the planet, they wouldn't want to hear this. But before this earth can ever be destroyed, these promises have to be fulfilled. Israel has to get their land. They've never got it yet. They've never got it yet. They have to get their land. Watch what I have underneath this. This took me back to my childhood a little bit. They have not yet been fulfilled in our day, but they will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. There is not a war that can happen in which this earth will be destroyed by nuclear bombs until these promises are fulfilled in the kingdom. The reason I put that there, you remember whenever we were kids? I remember whenever I was a kid. I'll give you my memory. There was always a talk about, oh, Russia's got all these nuclear weapons. And the United States has nuclear weapons. And I don't know, when I was a kid, I don't remember any other countries that had them. But I remember a time in my life whenever they said there were enough nuclear bombs to blow the world up 9 times over. And I'm thinking, why? 1 time would be sufficient. What do you need enough for 9? But, that was always a fear. What if somebody in Russia bumps the button? And what if somebody in the United States then has to push the button to counter what they did, and somebody else pushes the button, and the next thing you know, we're all just, the whole earth is annihilated. Impossible. Impossible. This earth cannot be destroyed until these promises are fulfilled. That's what I want you to understand. There is absolutely nothing that can destroy this earth until these promises that God made to Abram are fulfilled, until they get their land, okay? Ultimately, watch the next one here. Okay, I'll give you this one. It also tells us that the kingdom that is yet to come is a literal kingdom that will be established on this earth. Okay, so if the promises are literal and the land is literal, that the promises in the land that was promised to Abram, then that means the kingdom is literal. And so, therefore, the world can't be destroyed because the kingdom has not yet come. Regardless of what other people say, they say we're already in the kingdom. Well, the question is, wait a minute, what about these promises? Israel hasn't got their land. They have not got the land that God has promised to them from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. I should have picked that map up. Maybe I'll bring that next week, and I'll show you the map of the land and show you how big that area is. And they do not have it. But they will. They will have it. Now watch this. This is not something that can be spiritualized. This cannot be carried over into the eternal state. You can't do it because, that's something else that somebody might try to teach you. Well, these are promises that will be carried out in the eternal state. Wait a minute. You can't do that because now you've just left this earth to go to another earth. I hope nobody takes sound bites of tonight and shares that anywhere. That would sound kind of wild on its own, wouldn't it? What's that guy teaching? We're leaving one earth and going to another earth. But what I'm saying is that, listen, you can't carry these promises over to the eternal state, to Revelation 20 and 21, or 21 and 22. You can't carry them over there because they have to be fulfilled on this earth. That's a new earth in 21 and 22. They've got to be fulfilled on this earth because this is where the rivers are. And those rivers that Abram walked, that God said, let me back you up here for a moment. Let me give you something else to think about. Okay, you see this in verse 18, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Let me tell you another reason why they can't be fulfilled in that eternal state. Because there's no sea. You know what these rivers dump into? Take a guess. A sea. There's no sea in the eternal state. So this has to be on this earth. That's what I wanted to communicate to you. You say, boy, you get all wound up about that. Well, that's very significant because I know a little bit about what's being taught out there and how easily it is for somebody to come in and start spiritualizing these promises. And if you're not rooted and grounded in all of this, then you say, well, you know what? That sounds pretty good. No, don't accept that, because these are literal promises that will be fulfilled literally. Let me go back here to your paper. Watch this. That next line there. The kingdom must be on this earth in order for these little promises to be fulfilled. Let us notice something else about these promises which God made. Let me read 1 through 7 one more time. Boy, I thought maybe I'd get done a little early tonight, but I don't see it happening. 1 through 7, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as he had spoken, departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And he went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed, get this, will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now, come back to your paper, watch this. Abram was promised that he would become a great nation. And in verse 7, we're told that the literal land would be given to his seed. Now watch this. Genesis 15. Again, we're going back to the Abrahamic covenant. 15, 1 through 5. After these things, the Lord God came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And a steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now watch the next paragraph. The seed that would inherit the land would be the seed that came directly from Abram. And it would not be Ishmael. The line goes Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then on down to Judah. Okay? So just understand that. Now watch this. It would be his offspring. It would not be a steward of his house, but it would be from his own body. This is the nation of Israel. This is not the church. We did not come from the body of Abram. Okay? You and I are not physical descendants of Abraham. We are not. We are not of the nation of Israel. Now watch this. This tells us that God is not finished with the nation of Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. Watch Romans 11, 1 and 2, 2a. I say then, Paul writing this, hath God cast away his people? Has God cast away Israel? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So what's your next line? Israel must occupy their land and enjoy the promises of God. They must. Okay, I'll go back to something I said before. This world cannot be destroyed until that is fulfilled. It cannot be destroyed. We'll review some of this next week. Let's go now. I'm going to go to the Abrahamic covenant. And you can flip in your Bible to Genesis 15. Just flip over to chapter 15. That's where we've been. But I want to show you this, if I could, a little bit of this tonight. And then we'll come back and we'll lap back over next week because we're running out of time. Okay, now watch this. Just to show how committed God was to Israel and to bring about the kingdom, he then made a covenant with Abram. So let me read. Boy, that's a lot of verses to read. Let's go to 15 here. Let's just start. I'll start down through this, okay? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram." I'd like to comment on that. You could go back and read the previous chapter and see most likely why God said that. Abram was in fear of this time of being retaliated on him because of what happened previously. But listen, he said, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, that would be in Egypt. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." And he talks about the people that occupy the land. So I want to go over that a little bit, but let me come back here to your paper, and I promise we'll come back on this next week, and I'll get you a little more of it. It says the word covenant here in verse 18 means a contract. This was a binding contract which God made on this day. Okay, this is binding. This was the way that it was done was the way that a Chaldean covenant was made. Abram would have understood this completely. This is the way they did it. If you and I would have lived in Ur of the Chaldees and we were going to make a covenant with one another, then what we would do, we would take these animals and we would kill them and we would divide them in half, and we would lay one half on one side and one half on the other side, and we would let a path in the middle. And then the two of us, once that was done, we would walk through the animals. What we were saying whenever we walked through the animals by walking through there was this, that if I don't uphold my end of the covenant, then might the same thing happen to me that happened to these animals. And so we are bound by that covenant. It is a binding contract. And if I don't uphold my end, then there are consequences for it. This is exactly what God did here, with one exception. Abram never walked between the animals. He never did it. God put him in a deep sleep, and God passed through the animals. You want to know why? Because it's an unconditional covenant. It does not rest upon the faithfulness of Abram. It rests upon the faithfulness of God. If Abram would have walked through, this covenant would have been done for in just a little bit of time. But Abram never walked through. He never walked through the pieces of the animals. It didn't. The covenant does not rest on him. He cannot breach that covenant. He cannot breach that contract. He can't do it because it's all on God. You understand that? And so therefore, this covenant has to be fulfilled. Otherwise, God is a liar. If that covenant is not fulfilled, if Israel does not get the land, if the theocratic kingdom does not come through that nation, then God is a liar. That's basically what is being said. Let me go back here to your paper. There's more to this. It says the word covenant here in verse 18 means contract. This was a binding contract which God made on this day. On this day, God took the promises he had given to Abram and he ratified them into a covenant. He did this to show just how sure these promises are. There are three main points in this covenant: land, seed, and blessing. And I want to get into them, but I'm not. I'll wait till next week. I'll come back to that. Remember those: land, seed, and blessing. Those three major points of that covenant. Now, let me show you this. They all connect to the kingdom, by the way, too. Okay, top of page 7. What we need to see here is that the covenant is completely unconditional. By that I mean, it has nothing to do with the faithfulness of Abram, but the entire covenant rests upon the faithfulness of God. And I'm not going back and read these verses because that just shows you that Abram, I'm going to read the next line, Abram never walked between the animals, but God did. If Abram would have walked between the animals, then the covenant would have depended upon his faithfulness, but he didn't. The entire covenant rests upon God's faithfulness, and that we know is perfect. So the writer of Hebrews talks about this very thing. Watch what he says. Says, for when God made promise to Abram, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Watch this. That by two immutable things, two unchangeable things. What is that? Two unchangeable things. God's promise, or you could say God's word, and God's covenant. Two unchangeable things. You'll never change them. Nothing will ever change that. By two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. You see that? We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. This covenant will be fulfilled. And I am amazed that there are people today that will teach you that that covenant is no longer in effect. That because of Abraham's sin, that covenant was done away with. I've heard that taught before. It didn't rest on his faithfulness. It rested completely on God's. And so one day Israel is going to get their land. One day Israel is going to get the kingdom. There is going to be a theocratic administrator. That kingdom is going to be restored. It'll be on this earth. It'll be a literal kingdom on this literal earth, and they will possess that literal land. And there will be literal blessings in that kingdom. I'm out of wind and out of time both, but watch the last part of the paper. Next week, we will get back to this covenant. But until then, I will let you with the thought that God is faithful. The kingdom will be restored to the earth. Otherwise, God is not faithful. If there is no earthly kingdom, then God did not keep his word. There will be. Don't let anybody, listen, someday I'll be gone. Don't ever let anybody tell you that that kingdom already exists. Don't ever let anybody tell you that those promises are not literal, that covenant is not a literal covenant, and that covenant is still not in effect. It is. It is, and it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled just like God said, just like he said. Now, here's what we're going to do next week. We're going to back up and catch a little bit more of that, but I want to get those 3 points of that covenant, the land, the seed, and the blessing. Because what they do, then those 3 points of that covenant take us to the sub-covenants. The land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant is what they do. They are all sub-covenants of this. They just reinforce what is in the Abrahamic covenant. You'll see that as we go through that next week. And then I'll be gone for a week. And so you pray for us while we're out in the land of the fruits and nuts. Out in the West, okay? You pray for us out there in our trip out there. So let's pray. Father, thanks. Thanks so much, Lord, for what we're able to study a lot in just 50 minutes, a lot to be unloaded and to absorb. But Lord, I guess backing up and looking at the overall picture tonight, one thing is for sure that we get our mind wrapped around, and that is the fact that these promises are literal. They will be fulfilled on this earth, not in the eternal state, because that's a new heaven and a new earth, but they will be fulfilled on this earth, and Israel will get their land. The kingdom will be established here. This earth cannot pass away until Israel gets their land, until that kingdom is set up on this earth, until those promises are fulfilled. And so, Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Father, that throughout history, you've been working to bring about that theocratic kingdom, that one that was lost back in Genesis. And Lord, we're going to continue to track through your word and see that in the other covenants. Then, Lord, then we will bring in the Mosaic covenant, and we will see how does that tie in with all these other covenants, because that was not an unconditional covenant. That covenant depended upon the faithfulness of the people. And so, Lord, we'll bring that in. We'll see how that all applies. So, Lord, help us to learn and to grow and to understand this, to be equipped, because we live in a world where Satan wants to deceive us. So, Father, thank you again for the study of your word, and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the time that I have for today. I want to thank you for tuning in to our radio program. You come back next week. You listen again next week, because we're going to get into Genesis chapter 15 and look at that Abrahamic covenant. But until then, just a quick reminder that if you want any of our CDs, they're free. All you need to do is write to us, include the date of the program you desire, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet you around the radio next week, might you have a blessed week.